Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, August 19th, 2021. And we are grateful, as always, to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or listening through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using and working to build skill in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered, encountered, been exposed to in my 47 years of doing therapy. And these tools are available absolutely free on the website whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner of the new version of the website, it'll take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships and help me turn any negative emotional experience I have into part of that infallible internal guidance system that we've all been given. You can also download the actual tool itself. It's a PDF file. Just click and download. No need to pay anything or sign up to be on an mailing list. It's offered completely free, and you can also download a whole host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have called in and either been stepped through that worksheet process or given powerful testimonials about how the use of that tool has positively impacted their lives. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And before you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. When you tap on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. And we hope people do that soon and often because that frequently leads to comments or questions. And if you have any of those, you can email us at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. Or you can email Jeannie Rice at jeannie@whyagain.org, whyagain.org. Or you can call us at 563-999-3581 and press 1, and that'll put a question mark by your phone number. And whoever's on at that time has the option then to turn on your microphone and have a comment, have a discussion, have a commentary with you. We're also committed to doing the Course in Miracles workbook lessons this year. Today is the 231st day of the year. And there is an introduction to this section of the workbook lessons that starts with the question, what is salvation? And it goes on to explain that salvation is a promise made by the Creator that you would find your way to the Creator at last. This will be kept as a promise. It guarantees that time will have an end, and all the thoughts that have been born in time will end as well. The thought of peace was given to the Creator's offspring the instant that mind had any thought of fear. Salvation is undoing in the sense that it does nothing, so therefore it fails to support the world of dreams and malice. So if we come to this place where we recognize that all the negativity we experience is part of the illusion and a dream and an error in thought, then we settle into the recognition of the connection, our connection to all creation, to our Creator, to the peace that is woven into and accessible in the root of our being. So there's an intro. There are five full paragraphs outlining some more thoughts about that. And today's lesson is, Father, I will but to remember you. I have the intention to simply remember you. The commentary is, what can I seek for, Creator, but your love? Perhaps I think I seek for something else, a something I have called by many names. Yet your love, the only thing I seek or ever thought, is your love. For there is nothing else that I could ever really want to find. So let me remember you, Creator. What else could I desire but the truth about you and about myself? This is your will, my brother, and you share this will with me and with the One as well, who is our Creator. To remember our Creator is heaven. This we seek, and only this do we seek to be given to us. And the Course in Miracles experiment book by Pam Grout, we're doing that commentary as well. Her lesson 231 is titled, The Man with the Spider Tattoo. She quotes Jerry Colonna as saying, really, fated? Maybe you have some choice here. Pam writes, it's not every day you meet a wealthy venture capitalist with a giant spider tattoo emblazoned across his heart. Jerry Colonna, who now runs the executive coaching firm Reboot, says the tattoo reminds him of the truth that we're promised in Lesson 231. We are safe, we are loved, there is nothing to fear. Colonna, who got the tattoo on his 45th birthday, described himself as, quote, a freaking wreck, close quotes, when he signed up for the Jungian retreat where he met Spider, the spirit guide who helps him keep his fear in check. During the retreat, while examining the beliefs that formed his worldview, he had a weird dream about mushrooms growing in the basement of his house. The retreat leader ordered him to, quote, go, leave the circle right now. Go into the forest and find those mushrooms. Ask them what you were afraid to hear, close quotes. And Jerry says, I'm like, what the heck am I doing? I'm wandering around a forest trying to have a conversation with mushrooms. And he says, quote, all of a sudden I see the exact same white, long, stringy mushrooms, and I am freaked out. I drop to my knees and start crying. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. What are you here to teach me? And the mushrooms say to me, you're too afraid. Go into the forest and find your place. Close quote. So he spots an indentation in the forest, sits down and weeps. When he looks up, he notices a gorgeous spider web with dewdrops glistening like crystals. He looks at the garden spider spinning the web and says, okay, I give up. What the heck are you here to teach me? And the spider says to him, you worry too much. Your children are going to be fine. Everything is going to be fine. In short, the spider told him the very message that is in lesson 231. What can I seek for but the Creator's love, which is what I am made of? So, that's our Course in Miracles workbook lesson and the Pam Grout commentary. And we have 47 or 48 minutes left to talk about whatever you might want to talk about. Today is a Thursday, so that means there's an internet support group being held today through Zoom for anybody who has internet access. It's absolutely free. To find out about that, you can go to mindshiftersacademy.org website. And on that homepage, you should see on the right-hand side of the top a link for the Thursday support group. Click on that, and it provides all the information you need to join us. There is an option to donate if you want to support this work, but it's offered absolutely free, especially since all of the disruption to most people's lives that have been caused through this coronavirus time. And I have now updated that website to include a new page which has the best of audio files. And as of yesterday, it only had 2 files in it. Now it has 5, or maybe 6 files. And they include some processing that Susan Bingham did on this internet show. It includes the summary of work that flowed out of me on December 30th, 2015, which remains one of the best summaries and overviews of this work. And that the first file is about 30 minutes long with Susan Bingham. The second file is 58 minutes. The next file is a testimonial from Susan Bingham that's only 7 minutes long. The next file is a Susan Bingham doing a worksheet on her terror about the planet burning up, which happened a number of years ago. Not that the planet burned up, but that she was on the internet show doing that worksheet. And that's only a 30-minute audio file. There's a 42-minute audio file of our callers, Jill from North Carolina, doing a worksheet on hatred and terror. And the other highlight that I wanted to put out there was the Pierre Pratervan interview from April 9th, 2019. And I'm specifically putting that out there because yesterday when I was doing a video call with somebody, this is a woman that I was introduced to, the potential of interviewing her for the On Your Mind podcast with Journey's Dream. And she apologized for being distracted because she's from Afghanistan. And she has at least 15 different family members who are trapped in Afghanistan fearing for their lives and wondering, as women, how topsy-turvy their lives are going to be now that events have unfolded the way they have in Afghanistan. So instead of talking about doing an interview for the On Your Mind podcast, we talked about ways she could manage her emotions, and we talked about the EFT tapping and the Brad Yates videos that are available on YouTube, and I sent her a link to an overview of EFT tapping by Brad Yates, and then I sent her a link to a specific tapping he does on handling dread, which is a specific flavor of the emotion of fear for some people. And then I sent her the link to this interview with Pierre Pratervan, where he describes the powerful process in his book. His book is titled The Gentle Art of Blessing, and his second, or his other book, he has several books, but the other book about blessing is 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World. And so I recommended that Katera, instead of spending all of her time in fear, she could spend some time in her processing, doing EFT tapping, releasing the fear, and then she could spend some time spending her mind energy actively doing this process of blessing that Pierre Pradervan writes about so beautifully in his two books. So that's my offering for today. If you are being distressed by what you hear on the news or around the world or in your community, a wonderful way to release some of that energy and manage it is do some EFT tapping and then engage in the gentle art of blessing or some similar technique as outlined by Pierre Pradervan in his two books. And in that way, what I tell people is, in that way, when I do that, I'm focusing my energy on things I actually have control over. And it instantly feels better than when I focus all that mind energy on things I can't control. And I can't control who gets a vaccine or who doesn't. I can't control who's wearing a Make America Great Again cap. I can't control who's the president. I can't control whether or not my child's school is going to mandate that they wear a mask or not let them wear a mask, or et cetera. And so what I can do is notice with great regularity and hopefully with emphasis on early warnings, the tension that arises in my body when my conscious logical mind says, you know, life should be like this, and then life decides to be the way life is, which is different than what my conscious logical mind tells me it should be. And that tension, rather than being a curse, I could choose to use that tension as the alarm signal to let me know that there's something wrong, there's something off the mark in my thought process, and that my desire to have life be different than life is, you know, is part of the dynamic that's causing my pain and suffering. It's not, as my culture would teach me, an indication that life is wrong. It's an indication that, you know, it's the process by which I create the stress and tension that I say I don't want to feel, or that I create the stress and tension that I'm then blaming on other people and things outside of me. So once I recognize that, I can step into the use of tools. The EFT tapping is one tool. The gentle art of blessing is another. The Michael Rice's absolutely free worksheet, reality management worksheet, is another. I had a video session with a young man last night where I strongly recommended that he use the three early memories of conflict tool, because he has a pattern of shutting down whenever there's conflict, specifically related to his mother. And when I suggested that he say something to his mother that's a very, what I would consider a very direct, very innocuous, simple, respectful statement to his mother, his response was, just hearing you say that makes me think if I did that, it would be like setting off a bomb in my life. And then I would have all of the devastation to deal with if I did that. And when he said that, this, you know, the statement as it came out of my mouth seemed like just a natural, respectful comment to make to set, you know, decent boundaries with my parent when I'm now an adult. You know, he's 28, 29 years old, and he's living alone. He's got a good job. He's married. So it's not like he's living as a child in his parents' house. And I made this statement, and his response was, that feels like it would be setting off a bomb in my world and leave me to pick up the pieces and the devastation. And that clued me in instantly to the fact that he's relating to his parent as a 28, 29-year-old the same way he did when he was 3 or 5 or 6 years old living in the house and the parent would have anger. And once he uses a tool like the three early memories of conflict and identifies what he's downloaded in his belief system, in his energy field about the meaning of conflict, the danger in relationships, his being weak or dependent or, you know, helpless, hopeless. Once he identifies those beliefs, which are no longer true, because he's a I think it's safe to say that he's a highly competent, effective adult. He has achieved far more in his life than most people by the time they're 28 or 29 years old. And he easily gets on airplanes and travels around not just this continent, but multiple continents. He's got a good-paying job. He's been to a prominent university. So there is no way on paper that you would look at this and say this person will be afraid to talk to his mother or set a limit with or a healthy boundary with any adult that reminds him of his mother. And yet, he's stuck in that pattern. And so again, if you go to whyagain.org and you click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner and just scroll down, you'll get to the tool that's called Three Early Memories of Conflict. So we did our session, and I discussed that tool with him, and then I just went to the Why Again website and scrolled down until I found the link. It's called Three Early Memories, Revised 2017. It's near the bottom of the list of worksheets that are available. And I clicked on it, downloaded the PDF, saved it to my desktop, sent him an email, and attached it. And you can do the same. If you want to use it for yourself or you have somebody else that you know that, boy, you know what? This person is in their 20s or 30s and 40s or 50s, and they talk about, you know, their difficulty relating to their parent or their fear of saying something even, you know, respectful or assertive to their parent. There's a powerful tool available absolutely free through the Why Again website. It's called the Three Early Memories exercise. And I have used it to great effect. I've probably used that specific exercise 10 or 15 times just as a product of running the support group. And for the first probably 10 years of the support group, almost everything we did in that group was watch Dr. Michael Rice's two-hour videos. I made sure I had access to them. I bought a few of them. I had some of them gifted to me from other people. And I had probably 12 to 14 videos from Dr. Michael Rice that were, I just showed them in the support group in rotation. We'd watch 1 hour of a video 1 week, and the next week we'd watch the second hour of that video. And many of those videos they had an accompanying tool like this Three Early Memories of Conflict or like the Reality Management Worksheet itself, because his lecture titled Why Is This Happening to Me Again? He describes that Reality Management Worksheet. And in the Healing Through Relationships video, there's a separate worksheet. And the Codependence to Interdependence video, there's a separate worksheet. And the Getting the Stress You Need video has a separate Mind Goal Management worksheet. So because I was showing these videos in rotation for the better part of 10 years every week. I only had, 12 or 14 of these videos, so we would watch each video at least twice a year. And every time this one video came out, and the accompanying tool is the three early memories of conflict, I would do the worksheet. And every time I did it, I would have the option of remembering a different memory of conflict. And I would do the processing, and I'd get new insights into how I was still, as a, 50 and 60 and 65-year-old psychologist, still repeating patterns from my childhood or my adolescence that were not very productive, and they weren't very mature ways of coping with conflict and confrontation, and acknowledging that through that process, instead of being fearful of it and shying away from it or shutting down, I could use my skills and communication skills and life experience to use the moment of conflict or confrontation to move toward resolution and healing. So we're encouraging that. That's just one of the many tools that are available at whyagain.org that are absolutely free. And we encourage people to take advantage of them, and then give us a call if you have any questions or comments about them. That's one of the things that we can do to make this time useful and productive. My head is buzzing with all of the different things that have been happening since we were here together yesterday. I have had sessions with a teenager and his mother, and they are anti-vaxxers, and the teenager doesn't even want to date anybody who would consider taking the vaccine. And we just discussed all of the tension and judgment and constriction that was evident for the teenager as he was discussing this. And again, the focus is, all right, so right now, what do you have control over? Do you have control over how many other people are going to be hoping that President Trump gets reinstated this month or next month? Do you have control over whether or not your girlfriend does or doesn't get a vaccine? Or do you have control over the events in Afghanistan? This is another topic that came up with the teenager. And when you don't have control over those things, the sooner you can shift your focus off of those things onto things you actually can have control over and use to improve your life situation in this and the very next moment, now you start to improve your life. And that's what we're here to support people in doing multiple times every day. This is mental and emotional hygiene. This is the very important part of our life that our unhealthy culture does not teach us to do. The unhealthy culture that we're living in trains us to believe that when we feel a negative emotion, that means someone outside of us has a problem. When in actuality, my negative emotions are there and used by myself, the best possible use of them is to say, this is an alarm telling me there's a problem inside me. This is a wake-up call for the fact that little Timmy has some thought patterns that are unproductive. Little Timmy's trying to focus on things he has no control over. And the more I do that, the more pain, tension, fear, frustration, anger, anxiety that I create. When I wake up to that process and realize I don't like how this feels, and oh boy, I'm doing it to myself, then all kinds of new options appear. But as long as I'm in that process and my mind is telling me, somebody else is doing this to me. No, the options just don't appear. I can't see a way out of a prison I'm creating until I realize I'm creating that prison. So, right before the show started today, I signed up for the... There are two things that are coming soon. One of them is Dale Ellen Hoffman is doing a class. And Dale Ellen Hoffman is a scholar of language and a scholar of... He's a present-day mystic. He's actually trying in his life, much like anybody who uses Dr. Michael Rice's tools in their life on a regular basis, he's trying in his daily life to live from a place of clarity and connection to the direct observation, awareness of his true nature, the loving nature of creation expressing through him. And he's working with another teacher who's over in the UK, and they're going to present a class. And if you sign up for it, then you get access to the when they do the classes live, but also the recorded video of them. And the other thing is that's coming up is JM. I think it's Mark David Hammer was his original name. He goes by JM now, and he's the person who received the information, whether you want to call it channeling or he's the one who wrote, who spoke out, and then it was recorded and later transcribed into the book, The Way of Mastery, these messages about our true nature and our loving nature, and I call The Way of Mastery a kinder, gentler form of the Course in Miracles. And JM is about to launch an intensive class on a deep dive into the Aramaic Lord's Prayer. Back in 2019, early 2020, he did a deep dive into the Aramaic Beatitudes. And so that's another thing that is coming up that people might be interested in. If you look into that, you can search for Dale Ellen Hoffman, his website, and find out about his class, or you can search on Facebook or on the web for thewayofmastery.com and JM from the Way of Mastery. I think on the Facebook it's an AB, standing for Aramaic Beatitudes, AB Online Immersion, and there's a separate group for that that if you ask for permission to join, they'll probably say yes, and then you'll get notified when things come up on that group. So we have about 25 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and I'd be happy to hear what you're interested in discussing for the next 25 minutes. Hopefully this little switchboard will let me turn on the microphone for area code 541. You're in the air. Who do we have? Well, the microphone on the switchboard says area code 541. You're in the air, but I don't hear anything yet. You're trying?
Surinda here.
It's very faint, but say that again. Did you say Celinda?
Yes, I did. It's been quite a while since we've conversed.
Welcome. How can we support you today?
Well, I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate what you just said about the Way of Mastery, because I had such difficulty with ACIM that I... decided to try the Way of Mastery, and it's absolutely beautiful. I just really enjoy it. I thank you very much.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying it. It's one of the few books in my life that I have read as often as I've read it. And it certainly sang to my soul and continues to do that. We went through the actual Way of Mastery lessons in the support group. And then, because I did not imagine that it would get such positive response, but I finally offered to the support group access to the darshans that JM did. And the darshans are just teaching sessions, so it means, you know, the teacher sits and talks. And the darshans happened from, he channeled the book from 94 to 97. And then in, I think it was 2011 to 2014, he did the darshans, and he offered them to people to, you know, for a donation, you could be on live and listen, and then there'd be recordings of them that you could download, but only for a period of time. At the end of each month, there would be a few days where if you didn't download them, you had to hurry up and download them or they're gone. Well, the darshans, like, for instance, in the first chapter of that book, the first lesson, when I read it slowly and carefully and I edited in some light music for the transitions, it takes about 30 minutes to read the first lesson. But JM talked about it in various darshans for 5 or 6 hours. So that'll give you some idea of how intense and how much in-depth he goes when he wants to explain the depth of the work. And he did that for, I don't know, I think he did it for a year for each book, the way of the heart, the Way of Transformation, and the Way of Knowing, which are the three separate books which make up the thing they call the Way of Mastery. And he did the same kind of thing for his Aramaic Beatitudes interpretation, and now he's going to do the same kind of thing for the Lord's Prayer from the Aramaic into English.
So are the Aramaic Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer in a book form from him?
The Aramaic Beatitudes is in a DVD form from him. His
okay.
interpretation of those is in a book form. And we've discussed them here before. I've got, you know, I've taken the I've transcribed the his interpretation of the Aramaic Beatitudes. And I've had somebody then send me the like a side by side from the King James Version of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And the new translation from JM.
Right.
So this is an example. Here's the first beatitude from the King James Version of the Bible reads, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And JM offers in his DVD on the Beatitudes that the new translation reads something like, "Now is the ripe time," like the perfect time in the ripeness of a fruit. "Now is the perfect ripe time to make your home in the breathing unity and let the fertile soil of the queendom birth your clear guidance." So instead of thinking blessed are the poor in spirit. Michael Rice talks about this. Dale Ellen Hoffman talks about this. The word that was translated into English as poor, in the Aramaic, it meant something more like open, empty in terms of being open. Not blessed are those who don't have a life in the spirit, but who have their home in their spiritual being. So JM worked with it and got his input from, you know, the entities that are channeling things to him. And he says, here's a better way to think about that. Right now is the time to make your home in your breath, to bring your awareness to your breath, and let the depth of your connection to your source be your guidance. The second beatitude from the King James Version says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Well, JM offers the interpretation that says, restored are they who allow their inner pain to surface. So if I have something disruptive come up in my life and I make my home in my breath, I turn the focus inside and I allow the pain to surface, restored are they who allow their inner pain to surface. They shall touch the place where love carries them to greater wholeness. The third beatitude in the King James Version said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. JM says, here's an interpretation that these flow together like a set of instructions, like a yogic practice. When you get triggered to upset, take a breath and turn your focus inside. Let your pain surface. And then, having made soft what was rigid within you, a new ripeness shall bring renewed inspiration, and confident strength will flow through you. And then, King James Version says, Beatitude 4, blessed are they who do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And James' translation of that is, interpretation of that is, once we start resting in our deeper longing because something came up and it was not what we wanted, so we took a breath, we put a focus on our breath, we let our inner pain surface, and we let love carry us to greater wholeness, and then we soften those things that are rigid within us. We release our beliefs, we ask to be shown, and we tap into that inner guidance, and a new confident strength will flow through us. And then, as we rest in that deeper longing, we will feel the power of spirit move to carry us in the direction of our true fulfillment. So we stay with the breath, we turn inside, we fight off the conditioning that says the person outside of me is causing my upset, and we connect with our inner source. We get fed from that inner source. We feel stronger. And the King James Version of Beatitude 5 says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And James' interpretation of that is, once we are restored in union with radiant love, then it shall be extended from our heart center, blessing others through our creation. So we just keep turning inside when our mind wants to tell us that the outside is causing our upset. We breathe, we focus, we ask to be shown, we tap into that source of love and energy within us, and from there, we are restored in union with that radiant love, and it shall be extended from our heart center, blessing us and all of those around us. The sixth beatitude says in the King James Version, blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. And the Yeams interpretation of that is, wise are they who are consistently restored in this way. And like flashes of lightning, the Creator will increasingly reveal itself in the depth of their soul. So as I refuse to be drawn into the cultural pattern of blaming others outside of me for my pain and suffering or my irritation and sadness and fear, and I keep turning inside and make my home in the breathing unity and ask to be shown, I let my guidance be born from this internal connection to Source. I will be consistently restored, and like flashes of lightning, my connection to my Creator will be increasingly revealed to me in the depths of my soul. The seventh beatitude from the King James Version says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. And James' interpretation is, as we are ripening in our new wholeness, because we're making the breath in our unity, because we allow to get distracted by outside, because we ask to be shown from this inner connection with our true nature, ripening in new wholeness, shall they become as channels for new creation, serving the same restoration in others. So that's just the first seven. And then the last three he breaks in, or last beatitude he breaks into three parts. But I'll take a break and ask if that's stirring up something for you.
Oh, yes. In fact, it reminds me of the picture, the image that Michael Rice got in his mind when he was going to publish his book. And the picture of the little spikes, you know, how the big spike came out and then it got knocked down, but then the little spikes all over the world came up and they couldn't be knocked down. And that is what I'm feeling that is happening. A couple of things real quick. One, as I've been listening to the Aramaic Gospel of Greg Braden and the Hidden Gospel and the original prayer, that's for the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer. And I've also retouched base with Greg Braden's The Gift of the Blessing, the Isaiah Effect, and the Lost Mode of Prayer. And now you're sharing with me the Way of Mastery, Gentleman's Understanding, and then the Dale, whatever his last name was, that you mentioned today, and his understanding, and it's all so Aramaic. And then I go to read Pema Chodron in Buddhism or a yoga nidra or some other yogic perception, the Sufi perception, and it all comes home. It's the same thing, Dr. Tim, and I feel like these little spikes are rising up all over the world, and it's very, very encouraging, exciting, and peace-inducing. And I just want to thank you and Dr. and Michael and all of these sources that are allowing themselves to soften and open up. It's beautiful. So sweet.
Oh, glad you think so. It is certainly that has been my experience, which is why I keep doing this work and trying to make it available to others.
Now, I don't know if I can spend just a couple more minutes with you or if the show is about ready to end, but I have one other thing I would love to share with you that you touched on today. And And that is the teenager you were talking about and the vaccinations versus unvaccinations. And I know we had an interesting conversation several months ago about that ourselves. And I wanted to share with you the place I have come to. I came one day after talking to a couple of friends that before COVID we could talk about anything, and after COVID I was shocked to realize there were things we couldn't talk about, and COVID and vaccinations and unvaccinations and Trump and Biden and all of this stuff seemed to be in that little box. And I had to make a decision. I didn't have to make a decision. I made a choice. When I had an understanding of how I was co-creating that situation. And I made a commitment to Creator, to the Christ within myself and to Rucha, that I would never again allow an issue I had or an issue someone else had to come between me and that person and my expressing the love that I am towards them. And my community, it doesn't matter. Individual community, it doesn't matter. And I wanted to share that breakthrough with you. And thank
you.
Well,
and so how have you been able to effectively implement that?
Well, right after I said that, of course, there was a test. It came down the sidewalk. It was one of my casual acquaintances from before. And we were just talking, and something in him triggered that I hadn't been vaccinated, and he had. And he just started getting so angry. And I just stayed there in blessing and listening and sharing what I could. And as he brushed it aside, it didn't matter. Just loving him from the love that I am to the best ability that I have. Because as you said, as we grow, more is revealed to us and embodied in us. And so I just did. And I feel so good that I was able to do that. And that has strengthened my focus and my intention. So, yep, it will come up. It always comes up. And I'm still working through the details for myself, how best to express the love that I am towards my community within the context of what I feel is my own integrity, within spirit's guidance, and do the best I can and really commit to myself, to spirit, to myself and my community and my partner who has a different perspective than I do, all kinds of things. It works. I'm here to attest that in my life it works.
Glad to hear that.
And I'm so glad for you and Michael and Jeannie. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Well, you're most welcome and deserving. Anything else we can support you with today?
No, other than you also are most welcome and deserving. And I really appreciate our conversations and Michael and Jeannie and my conversation. Thank you again.
All right. You're welcome. I will mute you so you can listen in, and we have some time. We have about 4 or 5 minutes left in our first hour. Michael and Jeannie should be here for the second hour, and you can either ready your conversation points or open them up now. Our call number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we can have a conversation. The reminder again that we have our support group tonight. That's available absolutely free, the mindshiftersacademy.org website. And the recommendation that if you're stressed by what's going on in your mind and you think it's being caused by the outside world today and the events in our world, we recommend the EFT tapping. We recommend the reality management worksheet. We recommend the Pierre Pradervan Gentle Art of Blessing. And to make that easily accessible, if you go to the mindshiftersacademy.org website, the new webpage is the best of audio files, and at the bottom of that list of only 6 files now is the audio file of the interview with Pierre Pradervan. So you can get access to his tool and his own way of exploring it very easily through mindshiftersacademy.org. And I highly recommend using that Gentle Art of Blessing and or EFT tapping and or the reality management worksheets to manage what you're creating in your life experience, especially during times like this where the news is just full of very intense happenings around the world, whether it's the fires out west or the events in Afghanistan or the people in your own neighborhood who don't want to get a vaccination or who do want to get a vaccination, and the ways we can use any of those thoughts and belief systems to generate upset are endless. And yet it is our use of that thought process that's creating our upset. And our hope is the more we work to empower people to understand how their upset is actually created and the tools that are being made available absolutely free for creating a different life experience, the more people will step into the use of those tools and improve their life experience. And we're hoping that you will, you know, what's the old, jump on board. You know, the train is leaving the station and nobody needs to be left behind. The tools are available absolutely free, and our experience has been that they are extraordinarily effective. So we hope you are able to make use of those tools and improve the quality of your life. And that if you do, you'll give us a call. You'll let us know. You'll send us an email with a testimonial. One of the things that I decided to put on that best of page on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website is a testimonial from Susan Bingham, about 7 minutes long, where she was in a crisis and she had a friend in a crisis, and she stepped her through a worksheet even though the person had never been exposed to the worksheet process. And she went from a 10 plus plus upset down to a level 2 upset in the span of one worksheet. And you can hear Susan give the testimonial about that, which is only a 7-minute audio, on the MindShiftersAcademy.org website, on the Best of Audio Files page. So hopefully that list of resources just keeps growing and you will feel comfortable in taking advantage of it. We're offering these tools absolutely free. We're offering these audio files free. We're offering the archives of all of the shows for the past 10 plus years. And I, for one, have found great benefit from using the archives and listening multiple times to some of the better shows and some of the more powerful testimonials and some of the more in-depth, on-the-fly insights that come out when someone is just letting it flow from whatever that internal source of wisdom is. So I will remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Cam. Good conversation.
Have a wonderful show.
Thank you. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of MindShifters Radio. Today is Thursday, August 19th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. We'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. While we're waiting on Michael to get dialed in, I will just announce that starting tomorrow evening, and the flyer is on our website. I've also put a link in the notes for every day this week. But starting tomorrow night, August the 20th, from 7 to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time, we're going to be doing Mind Shifters. And then Saturday, August the 21st, from 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Time until probably 4, 5, 6 o'clock, depending on how much process takes place, we're going to be doing the Still Point Breathing. The cost of the workshop is $125. Those who have participated in the online codependence intensive are invited as guests. And, of course, you know, we're open to receive donations, too, as we're traveling. We always do our workshops for free, and then we open the door that if someone has benefited from it and wants to give a donation so the work continues, then we invite them to do that, and we accept it graciously. But that is, the flyer is in the notes for every day this week. It's also on our website. You can click on the events section, or you can go to the news section, either one, and it's in both of those places. And let us know, though. It's pre-registration is required, and I will send you a Zoom link once you're registered. And we've already had several people sign up for it, so it should be a good weekend. We're looking forward to it. Breathing is always awesome. Welcome, Michael. Hello, Michael. Do we have technical difficulties? I'm going to walk in and check and see if he's having some kind of technical issue. I'm showing that he is on the switchboard, but perhaps there's some other issue going on.
He is on the switchboard.
There he is.
And the screen disappeared for me to unmute myself, so sort of technical difficulties, but anyway. Delighted that you're all here with us today, and we get to move this conversation one more notch up the ladder. And you know, it's always fun to hear from people who use the tools or don't use them, but come across the benefit. I got an interesting phone call this morning from a gentleman who literally has been hanging around the tools for about 25 years, but you know, never really engaged them, just kind of, you know, was out there on the periphery. He's actually a minister, and he called me this morning. He's like very excited. And he had a family situation occur. And in this family situation, he was feeling a lot of anger and feeling left out of, you know, family activities and such. And without actually remembering to cancel the goal specifically, he was able to, as an event occurred that triggered all of this for him, to just stop and kind of be with it and breathe. And he was quite pleasantly shocked and surprised. It's like, Michael, I just kind of was with being with it and holding to the space of, you know, I'm going to let go of my insanity instead of replying out of this hostility and rage that came up. He said, all of a sudden a memory came. He said the circumstance was a family gathering, and he said, I've, you know, come back home after many, many years of being away, and cousins that, you know, hadn't talked to in years, and I organized us getting together, and I've done a couple of events to bring people together, and then I saw a Facebook post by another family member, and the family member had posted something like, you know, we got all the family together, but he wasn't invited, he wasn't included, and he had enough brain cells to remember that, well, I've been through something like this before, but I have no recall of it. And so he just kind of slowed down instead of, you know, spouting off, which might have been his norm, out of that hostility. He said, I just stopped. He said, I breathed for a minute. And all of a sudden, a memory came. He said, Michael, I had this visual. He said, I'm in my 70s. And I had this visual of remembering when I was 6 years of age, and my father had talked about going to, I forget what it was, a hockey game or football game, whatever, it was up in Detroit. And, you know, here I am. I'm getting ready to go to this game with my father. And he said, I had the full memory. My uncle showed up. Knocks at the door, sticks his head in the door. And he said, I could almost hear my uncle's voice. My uncle said, okay, let's go, yelling to his dad. He said, I remember my dad looked at me. He said, it seemed now like it was maybe a look of guilt. But my dad looked at me and said, okay, bye, everybody, and walked out the door and left me there. Left out. And here he is, you know, 65 or whatever years later, and paying that unconsciously until he stopped and breathed and let himself be with it, could have had his mouth running off and, you know, raging and screaming like the six-year-old would have, at having been left out as the cousins got together and said, oh, we just got all the family together, but he wasn't included. So, you know, just it's so powerful and so profound. And then we, you know, move forward in a conversation about, so this is what really looking at issues looks like. And I mentioned to him the quote that we often present from the scientist who invented the Salk vaccine, Jonas Salk, where he says, most important is to be a good ancestor. And it's just so rewarding to have someone who, and as I said, this fellow had been around the work for, I can remember the first workshop he was at almost 25 years ago in South Florida. But to actually clean up a piece of his mind, clean up a piece of his history. And as we do those sorts of things, we take those traumas and those dramas that tend to remain unconscious, but play out generation after generation after generation. You know, you look at that story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years, and you say to yourself, could this have been a story about a 35-square-mile hot, sandy place? Does it make any sense that these people who very clearly understood astronomy got lost in a 35-square-mile area for 40 years? And you realize that that's not what it was about at all. You know, I mean, any morning that they chose to, if it were about being lost in this desert for 40 years, they could have got up and followed the sun to the west and known exactly where they were going and been freed of the desert. But it's a metaphor for living in this unconscious state, lost in unconscious dynamics, running your mouth based on something that happened 6+ decades ago, and bringing more destruction and more disintegrative energy into one's own physiology and into the world. Instead, he stopped, brought love present, and was able to move through. And that's, it's like, you know, it doesn't get better than that. To have a conversation with a man who's, you know, every once in a while I hear from him, and he tends to live his life in a lot of trauma and a lot of rage. And instead of just blasting it out and unconsciously playing it out, he does a major, major piece of work. And that's the state we're inviting everyone into, to really step into and to recognize, you know, when you're in a situation and your emotional response is not rational, it's disproportionate to what happens. The core of the process of forgiveness is that in any given moment, when your perceptual mind is serving up something based in hostility or fear, number one, it's serving it up because it's in there. The circumstance didn't create the hostility. The circumstance triggered the hostility into activity. The mind takes old unresolved dynamics, in this case from a child of 6, hurt, feeling abandoned, feeling left out by his dad, a principle he offered has pretty much run his whole life, instead of getting lost in it, to recognize that at any given moment when you want to uncover a memory like that, of course you have to be willing and in a receptive state, but the key way, the fastest way into cleaning up those kinds of dynamics is to look at, in the given moment, the goal that's driving your perception. Principle of forgiveness lies in recognizing that perception is a construct of the mind, And if it comes from a space of hostility or fear, it's because there's hostility or fear in there. If I want to uncover the memory that's driving the hostility or fear, if I want to process through that old memory, then I look in the current moment at the goal that I hold. In this case, with the cousins, his goal was to be included. What did a six-year-old want desperately? But to be included with his dad going to a game. Decades later, the same goal resonates the unconscious pain, and that unconscious pain is seamlessly, invisibly integrated into today's perception. When I recognize that the word forgive in Aramaic is shebag, and that word means to cancel, when I cancel that goal is the driver that causes my mind to use that old unconscious family dynamic. When I cancel the goal, the perception of the moment collapses, and that's when I have access to that hidden part of my mind. When I bring that part of my mind forward in the presence of active love, then it dissolves, it heals, and forgiveness has occurred. Now, the Greeks gave us this whole baloney story about forgiveness being about how all of our pain is somebody else's fault. You know, the Greek counselor counseling forgiveness would say, well, your cousin didn't invite you, but, you know, just let them off the hook for causing you pain. Totally fake forgiveness would have occurred. But when I confront a situation and I identify the goal that's driving my perception, remember the Harvard research we talked about, in a time frame where they can measure 10,000 brain cells firing, there are 10,000 measurable units of electrical activity happening in the brain. The max amount of data that goes into conscious awareness in that same time frame is 9 bits. Our perception is made up of that 9 bits of data. When I cancel the goal, my perception collapses. When it collapses in on itself, and it goes to its root. I like to use the visual of, you know, the 9/11 towers. You'll remember they dropped at free fall speed into their own footprint. Now, of course, that's a physiological impossibility. You know, when you get, that's a whole other story. You know, all of that steel and all of that, how could that possibly collapse at free fall speed? That's just silly. But that's a different story. Where that visual becomes powerful is to recognize when I cancel a goal, that tower of perception, that thing that's so far above the root experience collapses in on itself, and it collapses into its own footprint. And if I'm in a receptive state, I'm going to get to see. And when I bring it forward in the presence of active love, dissolution is going to occur. That's when healing occurs. So that, in essence, is what we're all about. And I'm going to step into the reading that we've been doing. We're on the second page of chapter 17, The Body Has a Mind of Its Own. If you've been following along with us, it's page 102. And we're looking at what governs the mind's operation here. So I've been talking with our character, Richard, about tuning forks and resonance, that the mind operates by resonance. If I put a middle C tuning fork in front of a second tuning fork, that second tuning fork will start to vibrate because there's an energy exchange. And pointing out that if there's no resonance, there's no energy exchange. That's the law that governs the function of the mind. And so Richard says, what do you mean governs the mind? How do tuning forks govern the mind? Let's demonstrate, I suggested. Don't think about the color of your car, instructed. He looked at me a little puzzled. I asked him, what are you thinking about? He said, well, my blue car, residence, I suppose. Couldn't be anything else, I interjected. I could have decided to think about something else if I'd wanted to, Richard shot back. Yes, but not without first deciding not to think about your car, which would be thinking about your car, I said with a grin. With my words, don't think about the color of your car, I set up an energy field. Imagine your mind is like a filing cabinet, and you have a file on cars. My words resonated that in your mind. In the same way that the tuning forks resonated and interchanged energy or information, your mind was stimulated into quote-unquote thought about your car. This action is not thinking at all, but simple resonance. It is a law that governs every process of the mind. Words are a frequency put out by the human voice. Our words resonate all information of similar frequencies in the mind that hears them. I call this the file folder effect. And tomorrow we'll talk about the file folder effect. In the meantime, building the brain cells for how this mind operates, having awareness, gives us a leg up and the ability to catch our mind when it's in its automatic phase, when the automatic decision system takes over, and by going beyond the operation of the automatic decision system, we get to become conscious operators of our minds. And, you know, in essence, the gentleman I was speaking about at the beginning of the show became the conscious operator of his mind. Instead of going into a fit of rage at his cousins for not inviting him, he stopped. He looked at the root. Where could this rage possibly have come down? And found an experience that happened 60-plus years earlier that held a great deal of pain and hostility for him. That's the process of real healing. And most people don't want to look there, and so they take the teachings of this man, Yeshua, and they turn them into something that they are not. And they even, I mean, you hear people saying, well, you know, Yeshua, he's got to do it all for you. You know, there's nothing you can do. Hey, go back and hear his words, and he tells you there's plenty to be done. But those who don't want to look there, those who don't want to deal with that kind of thing themselves, have made up a whole story. No, don't make me look at my life. There's nothing I can do anyway. Let me just turn it over to him, and he'll take care of it for me. The biggest fraud that's ever been portrayed upon the earth. There is a work to be done. Yeshua gave some powerful instructions, and they have nothing to do with religion. You know, it's not a religious principle when a man at 70-plus years of age is going into a fit of rage over what seems to be something happening in the moment and catches himself and says, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be functioning as love. Why am I in rage? Stops, does a piece of work, finds the root of his rage, is able to throw it out, and literally heals in that moment. That's the work of Yeshua. That's not theology. It's got nothing to do with religion. Yeshua was not a religious leader. He was a healer. He was a physician. He was a geneticist. He was a psychologist. He was a physiologist. And the profundity of his work, when you start to really apply it, is just monumental. And we're delighted to be having this conversation with you and that you're here to apply it with us. And so, Miss Jeannie, we've got, oh dear, 40 minutes. We've got plenty of time for the conversation. Do we have anybody out there?
We have lots
of time.
Yes. No, there's no hands up and there's no comments in the chat room. So if someone presses one, you're first in line.
Oh, I thought you were going to say we have lots of hands up.
I know. We got a lot of people out here, but no hands are up.
Well, come on, folks. Let's have a conversation.
Maybe go ahead and
how
announce
we
this
support
weekend.
Sure. We're going to do an online Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing workshop. It'll start Friday night at 7 o'clock Eastern time. It'll go to probably sometime between 9 and 9.30 on Friday night. And then Saturday, again, Eastern time, 10 a.m., we'll begin. We'll do the Mind Shifters process on Friday night. And then Saturday, we'll go into the Step Point Breathing process. We'll do some processing around what comes up for people with their writing assignment on Friday night. We're going to do this via Zoom, so you can do it from the comfort of your own home. We're going to guide you through the whole Still Point process. We've perfected doing that via Zoom, and it works extremely well, which I was pleasantly surprised with when we did our first Still Point Breathing session during one of the intensives, and got some really monumental shifts and changes. So if you're out there in listener land and you're ready to do a piece of work, you could just drop Jeannie a note. If you don't have her phone number or mine, you could drop Jeannie a note at J-E-A-N-I-E at whyagain.org. So Jeannie at whyagain.org, drop her an email with your name and number, and I'll call you. And if you have any questions about the workshop, or if you've got questions, please call. You know, hit one now, and we'll have a conversation. But beyond that, we'll get you registered and be delighted to have you take part. The cost of the whole the 2 days is $125. And if you want to participate, $125 is a problem for you. Contact us and we'll work it out. We'll work it out in a way that makes it workable. You know, this work is about making the tools available to people. You know, if you're familiar with the way we've traveled for about 4 decades, we traveled and paid our own expenses, did our workshops without a requirement for money. And when we do a process-oriented workshop, which is what this Mind Shifters and Still Point Breathing is, when we do an intensive, there's always a fee involved, because if people aren't invested, it's too easy to turn tail, blame somebody, and run away. So we found that it isn't doing a favor to anyone if they don't invest in their own process work. And so if you're interested in joining us, again, the cost of the process for 2 days is $125. And if you need a payment plan or something like that, we're happy to work. Come and join us Friday night and Saturday, 20th and 21st. I remember in the early days of doing this, when I would do process-oriented workshops, and process means, you know, we're asking people to drop in and deal with some of their stuff. Like the gentleman that I was just speaking about, that would be going into process work for him. And if he were in a workshop and something like that started to come up, you know, let's say somebody in the workshop did something that resonated, something like that for him, and he weren't invested in his own work, that would probably be a case where he'd turn and yell at somebody and stomp out of the workshop. But if he's got an investment in being there, he's a whole lot more likely to stop and take a breath and say, okay, I've got some work to do here. And that's why, you know, when we traveled, we always did our educational workshops, you know, why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communications, you know, they were all done free. Yes, at the end of each workshop, we invited people to donate to support us if they, you know, needed support and benefited from that. We were always open and receptive, but there was never a requirement for that. With a process-oriented workshop such as this, there is a requirement. I remember one woman, this was in South Florida back several years ago, and, you know, I had discovered that people have to invest. And she was, oh, I want to do this so much. You know, I want to come. I want to do the workshop. It was actually a series. I forget. It was like 6 or 8 weeks, something like that. But I just have no money, and I can't afford it. So I said, well, see me after, you know, this was like an open evening type of introduction. I said, see me after, and we'll talk. So I set it up, and I said, okay, here's the deal. Here's the cost. I don't remember what the cost was now of the workshop. And I'm going to pay you $10 an hour to do worksheets. So each week you come in with your worksheets, and if you've got enough worksheets to cover the cost, then you're going to be a guest and worship them. Won't cost you a penny. And she was so into, oh, I just want to do this so much. So I set this up. Never heard from her again. Never showed up for any of the workshop. So it's a lesson I learned. And so it's part of the process of inviting people to dig in and do their work is they have to take some responsibility. And when they do, they'll tend to move into deeper and deeper places in their own minds. And that's what this work is all about, is moving into those deeper places. And the breath is so profoundly powerful at opening those hidden parts of the mind. It was called still point breathing because there comes a point in the breathing process where involuntarily the breath spontaneously stops. And when the breath spontaneously stops, that's when the deepest, deepest levels of work are done. There's a chiropractor who has actually been turning a lot of people onto our work. He was in a movie interview back a few months ago, and he mentioned that his first introduction to the physiological presence of love was through still point breathing. That he lived a life that just did not include the presence of love. And he came to a mind shifters and still point breathing workshop about 25 years ago. And that was his first experience of physically feeling the presence of love, was during a still point session that we'd done a couple decades earlier. So in this interview, he brought that up. They were talking about, you know, getting to that space of love. It's like, well, here's a reliable way to do it. And it is most amazing and most profound. So come and play with us this weekend, and it's about, we're getting on close to almost 1:30. So Miss Jeannie, certainly with all that conversation, we've got some hands up.
No, we do not. Come on, someone, press one.
Well, you're out there in listener land. You know, if I were in your hometown, you know, on your local platform at your local library or your university or your prison or church or whatever it was, and I presented the thoughts that I just presented, if I were walking down off the stage and you were in the audience, and with what I've just said, I'm sure that everybody who's listening would walk over to me if the opportunity were there and say, well, Michael, what about? So this is the space for your what about question. That's what I've spoken about. You don't have one question? Come on, push one. Let's have a conversation. This is not designed to be a monologue. It's designed to be a conversation. You know? You can go back into our archives. We've got 10 years of archives, 3,300 hours. And it's a conversation that we've been having with people for 10 years. And we'd love for you to be engaged and ask your question. Ask for, you know, or share what's going on in your world that you need support with, or how can we support you? What kind of questions do you have? If you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. So if you call that number, you'll be listening to the show. And if you push 1, through the magic of technology, that will raise a hand in the control panel. Jeannie will know that you want to speak to us. She'll introduce you by your area code, and we'll be having a conversation. So if you're out there listening, push 1. How can we support you? What's going on in your world? What's going on in your mind? And maybe there's no more conversation to be had for today, sweetie. You know, we have a long list. We have our granddaughter with us today. And lots on our plate. So if the conversation's complete, then maybe this is all we need to share for today. I'd rather continue the conversation for the next half hour, but I'd like to have someone to continue it with. So if
we have a hand.
Push one. Oh, good.
Area code 541, I think. This is Miss Julie.
Hi. Hi, Jeannie. Thank you.
Hey, young lady. We get to bless to hear your voice 2 days in a row. How cool is that?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But I did want to ask you guys where you went for a while on vacation, too. I think it was around the same time I went, because I hadn't really heard that, if you feel like repeating that. And then I might mention something else.
Well, you know, we last August, we had a new granddaughter born, St. Louis. My daughter, Krista, and her husband had a second baby. And we were, you know, scheduled to go out and be there for the birth. That was before COVID hit. And then COVID was happening, and it just seemed the better part of wisdom not to expose new mom and new baby to the possibility of that. So we just stayed and hung tight here in Bristol. And we finally decided that it was time to meet our granddaughter before her first eternal day, which she had just this past weekend. She turned one. She'd been circling the earth for a year. But we went out and got to meet our new very, very squeezable granddaughter. And we have her big sister, who was very excited about having a baby sister, is now 9. And we hadn't seen her since the whole COVID thing started. So we got to spend some time with her and her mom. And then we went and spent a few days with my son in Kansas City. He's got a new home that he's working on, and so we got to go spend some time with him, and then we went to Heartland. You know, when Jeannie and I got married, we moved out there. That was our home base, and we, you know, took a moving van and moved a lot of Jeannie's, especially her collectibles, out there. And thank you to Magda and Chuck and Julie, because we'd have never gotten it all packed up without their help. They stepped in before we got there and packed a lot of it up for us. So we actually rented a huge U-Haul trailer and filled it to the brim. The day that we left Heartland, we had a 22-hour day by the time we got back home here. And we're still unpacking boxes. So that was our vacation.
I hear you. That's a lot to do. Boy, that's big. And
that was a good
valuable
journey, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so it wasn't a cruise or anything, but that's all right. Who needs
no
one?
Cruises. It was actually much better than a cruise. It was just really sweet family time. And
yeah.
This weekend, Aria Rain, it's her third birthday, her third trip around the sun has happened and completing. And so this weekend we get to celebrate with Ryan and Gabby, her parents, and she gets to realize what life is.
So are all of your girls, your grandgirls, are they all born in August? Am I wrong?
No, two
no.
of them in August.
Oh.
Our first granddaughter was born in December, actually on her grandmother's birthday, December 14th.
Oh, did you name
and
her?
And that's Adeline Nora.
Okay. After grandmother? Oh, okay.
No, they just picked that name up. Actually, her middle name is her father's name in reverse. Her father's name is Aaron, and they reversed his name, and her second name is Nora. So we've got Adeline,
cool.
Aria, and Avery Catherine.
I love it.
Yeah,
well,
so do
I can understand why Jeannie needed to get all her collectibles for all these people, these children, grandchildren to inherit. And otherwise, I'm getting rid of everything. So if you want some more, I'll send them your way.
No, thank you.
We're pretty full right now. You know, when we moved into Jeannie's dad's house, he'd been here for 50 years and wasn't about to be leaving. And when he got to the point where he couldn't, you know, live on his own, we decided to move in with him. And it's kind of a small house, so we have a very full house, especially with all these collectibles now.
And we're busily reorganizing. We actually just rented an additional storage unit, have been putting together shelving and putting things in storage that we won't be, you know, needing immediately. And so there's mm-hmm. there's lots on our plate, lots happening.
Yes. It's the American way. Well, I'm happy to say I'm getting to the end of my storage. It's really whittled down, and if I really pushed, I could get it all done, at least moved into my one-car garage by the end of this month. But I still think I should get rid of some of it instead of just hauling it all over here to where I can't even work on it, you know. You got to have some space, right?
Yes.
So, but I am getting towards, you know, I've been doing my little downsizing, not really because I wanted to get rid of everything, but just because it's time and it's a weight, a heavy weight on me. So so it does feel good, and it's definitely part of my worksheet process because I get to look at what consciousness I've stored in it all. And why am I hanging on to it? Is it, am I ready? It's like, am I ready to let go of this? Yes, you know, and it's, it does open up space, just like doing our internal work, getting the physical, relieving oneself in the physical of too much physical burden. So,
right.
At
right.
least that's my evaluation. You know, I'm judging uh-huh. still, I guess. But, yeah. Well, I just thought I'd fill up some time and see if anybody else is there. I think I had another awareness lately, but it's not occurring to me right now. What was it?
Cool.
I don't know.
You know,
but
one
anyway,
of the things I found while you're thinking about it is that the shortest pencil is longer than the longest memory. And if you keep an intense or a radio show notebook with questions and things like that, then bingo, it's always just right there. So but you get yourself a notebook you keep
yeah.
near your phone for that purpose.
That's okay. Now that is a concept, Michael. And near your phone is like your phone is the notebook or your phone is always moving. So consequently, my good ideas and good questions are not all in a notebook, but that is, I have many notebooks, many boxes full of notes. That's part of what I'm getting rid of. And you know what I mean?
Yeah, cool.
It's amazing to just live with a beautiful, creative mind. It really is. I love
yes.
all the thoughts and realizations that are in the love spectrum. That could be a good
book.
It was
a great movie, A Beautiful Mind.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Tell me about it.
Well, anything else on your Beautiful Mind at this moment?
I forget about that movie. I had a copy of it once. Tell me.
Yeah, it's a good one. Just thinking, probably need to go back and watch it again.
Okay, well, nothing's on my mind except my list of things to do. So... Anyway,
all right, young lady.
You
have a blessed one then.
I'll call with more purpose next time. But it was fun to connect.
Okay.
Thank you. All right.
All right. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And speaking about movies, actually, Jeannie and I have picked up on a new series on Netflix entitled
Manifest.
Manifest. And it is awesome. What a teaching opportunity. It's a story, without giving away too much, of people who, you know, they go on a vacation, and on the way back, one of the flights is overbooked, and they give the opportunity, you know, we'll pay you and give you a free flight if you'll surrender your seat on this one. So the family gets split up, and the family comes home. Half of the family comes home. And then the next flight, the rest of the family is going to be on. Well, the next flight leaves, an hour or two or whatever it is later, but doesn't arrive back home for 5 years. And it's just a really well-done teaching tool that shows how people get stuck in their realities and the resolution of those realities. And it also is a very powerful, know, somebody really creative put the work together in this film in such a way that it just really shows how energetically we're all connected. And it really introduces, you know, the people who've disappeared, you know, in the couple of hours that the flight was, you know, supposed to show up. They've disappeared for 5 years and nobody knows where they went, but they come back with what I would refer to as normal human powers and abilities, but those that aren't common in the culture. And so they're confused about it. Everybody around them is confused about it. But the bottom line, one of the bottom line messages that each of those who were on the flight that disappeared for 5 years is that everything's connected. And so there's some really powerful lessons in it. It goes right along hand in hand with the work. So pretty cool if you happen to be an entertainment buff. And that's how we spend a significant amount of our free time, our quiet time, is in just exploring films like that. And so Manifest on Netflix, very, very powerful teaching tool, opens us up to what some of the possibilities are if we wake up to who we are. And, of course, it creates all kinds of challenges for everybody because, you know, after 5 years, of course, everybody on that plane was declared dead. The plane was lost, and, you know, it took off and never arrived. Then when they arrive, of course, 5 years later, you know, what's happened to people in their relationships, family situations, and such. And so it's pretty powerful. Even has given us a couple of opportunities to breathe and do a little forgiveness work as well. So it's a powerful hand-in-hand with the work. Along with, you know, one that we've talked about previously, that's entitled, it's another Netflix series called Call the Midwife. Just some really profound circumstances that show up, very realistic, based in a true story, and opens a space for, you know, really looking at one's life. You know, there are two ways to go about doing the work. You can go through your life, and here comes the drama and trauma situation that brings up what you need to deal with. And oftentimes you can do some, you know, some vicarious atonement through films by watching circumstances and situations that you don't have to go get yourself into them personally, but they can resonate and give you some powerful pieces of work to do. And I know that that series in particular for Jeannie and I, the Call the Midwife, really opened up some space for some really deep, profound processing work for us. So it's, you know, there are lots of gifts out there in the culture, lots of different ways to approach doing your work. And if you're out there in listener land, we've got about 20 minutes left, a little less than 20. If you raise a hand, we'll be having a conversation. How do you raise a hand? Push one. Ms. Jeannie, do we have anybody with a hand up? Anything happening in the chat room?
There have been several new people pop on here in just the last few minutes, but no hands are up. So if someone has a question or a comment, press one.
Well, new folks that just chimed in, push one. Let's have a conversation. This show is designed to be a dialogue, not a monologue. And as I was saying, with all the traveling we've been doing and such, we've got lots on our plate. And so if the dialogue is complete, then I'm going to call the show complete. And we'll say that, you know, come and join us tomorrow. And maybe we'll take the conversation to the next level. If you've got a question for us, I'd prefer to continue the conversation for the next 17 or 18 minutes. Oh, good. Awesome.
I believe it's Miss Monica, 828. You're on the air. Magda, you there?
Hello, Miss Magdalena. How are you, young lady?
Whoops, had my mute on. Can you hear me now?
Ah, that old mute challenge button. I know what that one's like, Magda. Yes, you can hear you loud and clear. Welcome. Good to hear your voice. How do you be?
Very good. Very good, yeah. And you as well, you guys? Yes?
We are rocking along. We've got the baby today, so You know, every day that she's here is an awesome day.
I guess so. So I want to make a recommendation, something that Chuck and I have been watching on Netflix, and it is called, Designated Survivor. And it is about...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, you're familiar with it.
We watched that series back, year and a half or so. That was pretty powerful, wasn't it?
It is. So well written. One thing that we really enjoy is that, you know, of course, there's so many things that come up in politics that have to do with our moral decisions and choices and all of that. And being the president who's just popped into that space because he survived something that nobody else did, he's kind of unprepared for it because he's a politician. He is not a politician, but what he is a very good person who cares about others and is really looking for the best way to service his present job. And we love the discussions that will occur in the show between two characters or one character in the group, and how the writers put both, at least both, and sometimes more, ways of looking at the same problem. Really demonstrates different realities. Anyway, that's one that I would recommend. And I see the time is going, so I just want to also say that I totally understand why you and Jeannie have sometimes been cutting the hour short when there's no one kicking into the discussion. It makes sense to me. However, I've been wondering if there are people who, as Jeannie just said, have just tuned in within the last few minutes, and if they find that the show isn't happening, maybe they think it really isn't happening anymore, and so they don't call in to get on the show or to listen to the show the next day. And so I was just wondering if it might be happening, and would it be a good thing perhaps to send a notice out to everyone on the mailing list that sometimes you are doing that, just to let people know if they tune in and you're not there, that's the reason why.
Yeah, actually, that's a good thought. We'll put that the next time we send the newsletter out and let people know. There's just, at this stage, so much on our plate that if the dialogue isn't moving forward, you know, a few times, not that many times in the last few months, have decided to go ahead and let the show go. And, again, it's meant to be a dialogue, not a monologue. And when the plate is full, if the dialogue isn't occurring, then we're going to go take care of what we need to take care of. So, but yeah, I'll do that. We'll put that note in and let people know, because we've got, 10 steady years of it and lots of conversation, and we appreciate it when people participate. It is a participatory show, so thank you for participating, and thanks for bringing up that suggestion for everybody of Designated Survivor. It was a very powerful, powerful series.
Oh, my, yes. Yeah, and I know I watched some of it when it was actually originally on TV, but now we're watching the series, and, man, there are so many cliffhangers. Yeah, we have to be very careful that we don't
Right.
end up seeing the next one.
Yeah, to me, messages... Yeah. On occasion, we have done that, yes.
What were you saying, Michael?
Well, I'm going to say that one of the things that came across to me in that show, as you mentioned, is moral fiber and how important that is. And I remember back many years ago with a particular high-level politician that just flat-out lied to the American people. It's not current events, which there's lots of that going on, but back many years ago, and I can remember, you know, the economy was doing well, and this person, you know, he's actually impeached for lying. And this friend of mine who's a business person, he was quite happy with the way the economy was going, business was going. He's like, well, I don't care what he does in the bedroom, you know, as long as the economy's working okay. It's like, yeah, but you know, what our leaders hold up to our young people can lead to tragedy. And I think that particular president's deception and lack of moral fiber really had an impact on this country, as some of the current politics is having an impact, especially on young people. And I think it's really important. I personally think that it would be awesome if, in order to run for political office, you first had to be a human being, that you actually had to be able to function as love with integrity. I think that would be absolutely awesome, and it would change our country overnight. But
right. It would be awesome. It would be wonderful.
Yeah.
So when we get to make up the rules, then we'll institute that, okay?
Yeah, there you go. All right, young lady. We appreciate you. Lots of love and blessings. All right, take care.
See ya. We have another hand up, area code 541.
Oh, great.
I think this is Miss Celinda.
Hello. How are you doing?
Well, hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Yes, I just wanted to ask you to refresh my understanding of this intensive you're doing, the still point. And
right.
I was wondering how long will it last? Because I'm still in the motorhome, so I have to share the space with Larry. And
sure.
I just want to make sure that
Celinda,
it
I sent out an email yesterday or day before one to all of the attendees of the intensives with a flyer and a picture of how to set up your camera and the Zoom link, all that stuff. So if you did not get it, let me know and I'll send it again.
It's probably there, and I have to go over tomorrow afternoon. But what time? But the thing starts at 4, right? Pacific time.
No.
Yes.
It'll be 4 o'clock Pacific time.
Right.
Let's talk in terms of Eastern time. It'll be 7 to sometime between 9 and 9:30. So for about 2 to 2.5 hours on Friday.
Okay.
And then Saturday it'll start at 10 a.m. Eastern time. And go till sometime probably between 4 and 6 in the afternoon, depending how much process work we get into with the still point breathing.
So 7 o'clock my time to say 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
Yeah, that would probably work. Yes.
Okay,
and we'll go
I'll
right through and actually into and guide people through and support people through the still point process. If you're going to do it, we need for you to register, and we'll send you a Zoom link. So, so you're there for participation. So, when you get to connect, then drop a note that you
what
want to
I'll
register,
do is
and
I'll check
you're
with
on
Larry.
It as a guest.
Right, and then if it's a go, I will contact you and Jeannie, and maybe you could just text me the number, possibly. Or how would I register?
You register by just letting us know you're definitely going to be there, but you need to sign on your computer so that we can, you know, see you and all that, like we did during the intensive.
So there are numbers I need to dial and to get on. Is that correct?
Yes. Can you get your email on your phone?
No, not yet. I haven't figured out how to do that.
Because it's quite a long number. You really need to open it on your email.
Oh, okay. I see. All right, great.
Do you have a computer?
I do.
Do you have a computer linked to the internet there?
No.
Ah, that's a challenge. Okay.
Yeah, that is
because
a challenge.
Part of, you know,
I will
doing the intensive on Zoom. We're doing
right,
the process
right.
on Zoom, and we want to have a visual so we can see you and guide you through the process.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot that that has to be through the internet. Okay, I'm probably unwilling. It's not unwilling. I would love to do this again, but I will have to pass because I don't have consistent internet access. So anyway, I will pass on it. And I sent you a card, and I don't know if
we
you got it
Thank
or not.
You.
With
yes,
a
we
little
did. Thank you.
Donation. Yeah, and then I will continue as I can to donate because I fully intend to support your work, and I am,
Thank
and
you.
I really appreciate it. And I mentioned that to Dr. Tim when I talked to him this morning. I think the Renaissance
Sweet.
Is happening, Michael and Jeannie.
It's time.
It's just that remember before the sunrise. It's always darkest before the sunrise.
There you go. All right.
You
have a blessed
care.
One.
All
right.
Take
bye-bye. Care.
Bye-bye. And we have another hand up. We've got
Great.
3 minutes. Susan, 610, you're on the air.
Okay. Well, I'll ask the quickest one of my questions. Tim Bingham had a friend from way, way back who showed up on our doorstep some years ago with a woman, a wife from China, who started telling us about how everybody should be taking Synthroid, that everybody's thyroid is not working.
Thyroid
properly.
Problems?
Yeah. And so I thought, well, I'll file that away. Well, she came to visit us again, and it's a weird relationship because it really isn't a dialogue. She spent the entire time telling us about this and wonderful success and that wonderful success because she put these people on Synthroid. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know anything about this. My mother was on it as an old, old person, and she was a tiny little person, was on a tiny little bit of it, but it didn't hurt her. What do you think? What's that about? Why is she doing that?
I have no idea. You know, if people have a thyroid problem, Synthroid, you know, is a synthetic way to, you know, give something that at least is a reflection of the function of the thyroid. But and if people have the thyroids removed, I know that's definitely the drug of choice. But why somebody would just say everybody should be on it? I don't know. Mind you, now the medical profession is adjusting, normal body temperature 98.6, but it's just the last few years, and I think since there've been a lot of fooling around with drugs and changing the function of people's bodies, they're saying, well, you know, your normal body temperature is 97.5. That's your normal. But really, we need 98.6 for enzymes to work properly and such. And lower body temperatures, I don't believe, are norms. And, you know, so there might be reasons to give the thyroid a boost. I know I had one friend who was a physician who had a protocol where for a short period of time, he did put people on a thyroid booster, a drug, but it was to give the thyroid a jump start to get it going again. And then he would take people off of it to give them that boost. But I certainly wouldn't participate in that experiment.
Okay, so strange. Yeah, well, I appreciate your naturopathic past and your knowledge. So thanks. That's
all right, young lady.
I've asked my doctor.
The last few seconds.
Okay.
Well, we hold you in our hearts. And everybody, have the best year yet of your life.
I choose to live more consciously, evolving continuously.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org. AGAIN.org.